you know, as you get older, you find yourself saying, God damn, I'm getting older. Like, I'm around a lot of adolescents at my work, and generally I have no idea what they're talking about, and I often struggle to find any relevant references that they would know. Usually I'm like, Indiana Jones? Do you know E.T.? Have you heard of that? Or lately I've been using the only recent reference I know. It's not really even a new reference, it's just a new movie, when they're talking, and I'll be like, hey, are you guys talking about Minecraft? And they'll be like, no. Okay, well, let's see. Let's mention a couple famous car crashes, some more made-up movie scenes, and something else.
You are my density. You are my density.
So my buddy Buckley and I hung out yesterday. We generally will, like, drive around Los Angeles or Hollywood and look at, like, where movies were shot or where some weird bit of Hollywood history took place. I usually will pick a spot to go to. Sometimes I'll tell Buckley beforehand, or sometimes we'll just drive to a spot and then I'll do the big reveal. So my other buddy, Philbrook, don't all my buddies have such fun last names? Anyway, he recently sent me the location of where an absolutely legendary Hollywood accident occurred. In 1956, Elizabeth Taylor and her then-husband, Michael Wilding, were having a party at their Beverly Hills house on Summit Ridge Drive. Elizabeth Taylor and Montgomery Clift were shooting the film Rain Tree County, a romance Civil War-era film directed by Edward Dmytryk, who just directed a ton of classic stuff, 1944's Murder, My Sweet with Dick Powell, and The Caine Mutiny from 1954 with a mad Humphrey Bogart as Captain Queeg. Dmytryk was actually one of the Hollywood 10, the group of blacklisted film industry professionals who were investigated by the House Un-American Activities Committee. How timely, for alleged communist leanings. Dmytryk actually spent time in jail for not testifying, but during his second appearance at the committee, he answered all the committee's questions. A film director going to jail for being un-American? Could you imagine that? Well, actually, in today's climate, actually can. And the first to go to jail is Wes Anderson. Not for anti-American activity, just for lame movies. Just kidding. But anyway, Liz Taylor was very protective and a good friend to Montgomery Clift. The guy was famously tortured, a closeted homosexual who was just an absolutely great-looking guy and a top-notch actor, but he lived with such conflict and guilt. He was quite a big drinker, but supposedly he was just really tired after the party, and he drove down the windy curves of Summit Ridge Drive and crashed into a telephone pole. The electric transformer fell off the pole and landed on his car. He survived, but he got a broken jaw, fractured sinus, and pretty severe facial lacerations. He had plastic surgery done, and man, just take a look at him before and after the accident. I mean, he has such a damaged and, like, haunted look, but he also has such, like, a humanity and, like, to his eyes and stuff. And after the accident, he started drinking more heavily and became addicted to pain medications. A friend of Montgomery Clift famously said this decade after the accident was the longest suicide in Hollywood history. Check out 1951's A Place in the Sun for just prime, beautiful Montgomery Clift. It's a tragic story based on the 1925 novel An American Tragedy by Theodore Dreiser. It also stars Elizabeth Taylor and Shelley Winters and was directed by a pro, George Stevens. But if you want to see some post-accident performances that are unbelievably raw and moving and disturbing, then check out John Huston's classic 1961 film, The Misfits, with Marilyn Monroe, Clark Gable, and Montgomery Clift, who's actually Marilyn Monroe and Clark Gable's last film, and also 1961's Judgment at Nuremberg, directed by Stanley Kramer, where Montgomery Clift plays a mentally disabled man who was sterilized by the Nazis. And Clift's memory was failing him at this point, and he couldn't remember his lines. So Stanley Kramer was forced to let him improvise at times, and Clift just puts in a masterful performance. And Marilyn Monroe supposedly said that Montgomery Clift was the only person she knew that was worse off than her. Marilyn would be dead a year after the movie The Misfits. And Montgomery Clift's health was, like, quickly deteriorating, and he died in New York City in 1966 of a heart attack at the age of 45. He was going to star in Reflections in a Golden Eye with Elizabeth Taylor, but he died. Marlon Brando took over the role, and that movie was a notorious flop. But yeah, take a look at some of the last photos of Montgomery Clift. He looks decades older than 45. And I don't know why I'm drawn to people that struggle and battle their demons and sometimes lose. I think if we're honest, I guess life is a struggle for everyone at times, old, young, whatever. So rest in peace, Montgomery Clift. And there's a really great biography called Montgomery Clift, A Biography by Patricia Bosworth. Clift is buried in Brooklyn, New York at the Friends Quaker Cemetery. I guess his mom was a practicing Quaker, and I'll definitely visit his grave at some point before I end up in my own grave. Actually, I'm going to be cremated, but you know what I mean. And yes, the telephone pole that Montgomery Clift crashed into still stands there. I visited another crash scene, and this one is as big as it gets. Just past Paso Robles in Sholom, California, is the intersection of Highways 41 and 46, where James Dean hit another car and died in 1955. He was only 24. Can you believe it? There's a little memorial marker like near the scene of the crash that was erected in 1977 by a businessman and James Dean fan. James Dean is buried at the Park Cemetery in Fairmont, Indiana, buried next to his relatives. James Dean reportedly was a fan of the phrase, "live fast, die young, and leave a good-looking corpse," though it actually originated, I guess, from a 1940s book. And I remember a quote I read from a friend of Dean's, and he said James Dean treated his body like an ashtray. I still try to live fast at times, but I'm past the point of dying young, or unfortunately of leaving a good-looking corpse. I really didn't want to bring this up, but I still haven't finished the movie Novocaine. I'm going to visit my mom later this week, and I usually am like more centered or content when I'm at my mom's, so I guarantee I will have some movies to mention on next week's podcast. All right, on to a few made-up movie scenes and a little social commentary to close. All right, let's do a couple of Al Pacino scenes. All right, Al Pacino is a cop talking to a serial killer on the phone. He's played by Ray Liotta, and Al says, "Look, we both know that I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you." And Ray Liotta says, "Oh yeah? Well, good luck with that." So here's more of like a New Yorker style cartoon. So we see Superman sitting on a bench. There's a little kid sitting next to him. The kid looks at him and says, "Dude, you're a superhero." And Superman says, "I know, and yet I'm so desperately lonely." Okay, here's like an outtake from Dumb and Dumber. Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels are on the run from the police. They're next to a fence, and Jeff boosts up Jim to look over the fence and see if the coast is clear. Jim looks over. He sees like 60 cops with their guns drawn at him. And he looks over to Jeff and grins and gives him the thumbs up sign. Okay, here's a last Al Pacino one. So Al is sending his son to college, and his son is very nervous. And Al says, "Look, you're going to be great. Just be yourself." And then the kid nods, smiles, and starts to walk away. And then Al suddenly says, "Hey, kid, you know what? Scratch that. Be somebody else." All right, well, let's end this with a little fireside chat. So like I said before, if I see a homeless person, I'll give them a couple bucks or ask them if they want some food or something. I mean, I can't do it with every homeless person I see, but I do my best. And if they do take my money and use it to get high, it's like, who am I to judge? If that's the one moment of bliss or peace they can get in a day, then I can't say that's wrong. And when I see a homeless person walking around and they come to an intersection and I see them pausing, waiting to decide which direction to go, man, it really makes me feel for them. It's like they have no real destination. They just decide to walk down this way or that way, maybe in hopes of finding some food or a safe place to rest or whatever. It's like, can you imagine not having a place to go and the streets being your home? I mean, there's got to be a better way to help these people. I mean, aren't we the greatest country in the world, supposedly? And I'm no socialist, but there's got to be an upper limit on how much people can earn. It's like, pick a number, whatever, 500 million or 1 billion. That's enough for one person. Anything more than that should go to some fund that can get people housing or some kind of support. I mean, I think the number should be less than 500 million, but whatever. No one needs hundreds of millions or billions. And if the rich person complains, well, fuck you, then retire. You know, I never really thought about Jeff Bezos much, but within the last few years, my contempt for him has grown. He's so in the public eye now, clearly on steroids and gallivanting around with Lauren whoever, And I guess they're getting married in Italy soon. Reportedly, the wedding is going to cost $10 million or maybe $20 million. And it's like, how wasteful. It's so unnecessary. And of course, Bezos's $500 million yacht is beyond ridiculous. He's looking and acting more and more like Lex Luthor, along with his girlfriend, Plastic Woman. I mean, enjoy your wealth to a point. You can enjoy the finer things without being a complete dumbass about it. This absolute lust for fame and money is corroding the heart of America. It's depressing, it's ugly, and it has nothing to do with the real reason we are on this earth. Yes, to have fun, but mainly to help others and to be humble. Money doesn't make you smart, it certainly doesn't make you handsome, and it doesn't make you a decent person. Money reveals the true person that you are. And Jeff Bezos, you're looking pretty fucking rotten.